Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
WEEI Afternoons, and that was T. Higgins talking about his four-year deal that he signed to stay with the Bengals. Fitzy, I know you like to roll around on the social medias. I believe on the social media sometimes they say, who wants to tell him? Because upon further review...
What happened?
Not sure it's really a four-year deal. It looks a lot more like a two-year deal that basically... isn't really any more than if he had played on the franchise tag this year and the franchise tag next year.
So that's really all he should have done in the first place, is kept taking the tags until it was time to move on.
It guarantees him for next year that even if he gets hurt, because say he blew out his knee this offseason, this season, then they probably wouldn't tag him next year. So there's a little bit of security, but not... this is a true... when people roll their eyes at NFL contracts and values and all these things, this is a little bit of an eye roll contract. And
why would he sign it then? If his agent is the same agent as Jamar Chase, did the guy like, all right, listen, Jamar, we'll get yours done. Don't worry, we'll get T here just to make Joe happy for a year or two. But don't worry, you're priority one. You're my number one A kid.
Yeah, Dimble.
Are you guys implying that T. Higgins did not understand this part of his contract when he signed it?
I don't know. I may be insinuating that he got schnookered a little bit or something.
It's the agent's job to not get hoodwinked, bamboozled, schnookered, etc.
Yeah, but what if the agent was like trying to keep Jamar Chase happy by keeping his number two there so they could win and maybe... I don't know. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. In the old show, we used to do sniff tests, and this is a little... and it could just be that Joe Burrow truly has it. We've talked about that. Maybe he used his Jedi Joe Burrow mind tricks to kind of keep it all together. He got the Bengals to do something that a lot of people thought they wouldn't. Mike Brown, he's the cheapest owner in all of sports. No chance they're signing one of those guys. Never mind both of those guys, this and that. And they did it. They found a way to get it done. They keep the band together, and now maybe they'll compete for a Super Bowl.
They might, but I got to tell you that AFC North could get a little more competitive now that Aaron just paid a visit to the Steelers.
That is such a weird...
that's a strange match, I got to say. That would be so... Tomlin and Rodgers have professed their love of each other before, so I guess this was always meant to be.
It almost makes me wonder, Mike Tomlin has always openly talked about, as a coach, if a player has a strong personality or whatever, that's on me. You know, that's my job to deal with that and figure out a way. It's almost like he wants the greatest challenge. He's worked his way... Give me George Pickens, give me DK Metcalf, and hell, give me Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback, and I'll show you just how good a coach I am. Like,
give me no good starting running back. Give me no good starting quarterback. Give me no long-term plan. I'll do it.
And I'll show you I'll still, well, I guess go
finish
500.
10-7.
Yeah, go 500, not win a playoff game, but not have a losing season. No, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting, some of these wide receiver movements, and it's also interesting what these mock drafts are starting to do, Fitzy. And I don't know if you've noticed, but trading has become cooler in these mock drafts of late.
Was there a moratorium on mock draft trades until this week? Because up until like middle of this week, it was just all the same. Like, oh, really? Will Campbell. Wow. Oh, Travis Hunter. You don't say. And now all of a sudden there's trades galore. Like Warren Sharp had one yesterday that had the Pats trading out I couldn't have hated its face more. Like, if honestly hate was a planet for that draft, I would be Jupiter. It
so
sucked.
The draft you're talking about, Warren Sharp had them trading down with the Panthers. The Panthers trade up to take Abdul Carter. The Patriots get two extra third round picks, one this year and one, I believe, next year. And they take Will Campbell at, I believe, seven or eight. Somewhere in there, they get Will Campbell. They're short-armed. Yep. Left tackle slash maybe a guard. Ted Johnson, hated player. So you wouldn't do that.
I need a guard right now, Andy. I don't. I don't need a guard. I need
but
a
what
tackle.
If he's a tackle?
But what if he's not?
Oh, speaking of which, probably could have done this off air, but get your boy Matt Light on. Why don't we talk to Matt Light about being a short-armed left tackle? He's an expert in the area.
Done deal. We'll top of next week.
Yeah, Monday or Tuesday, let's talk to Matt Light about his short arms, because Dante Scarnecchia uses him as the example. You know, they even considered moving him, and then he went to the Patriots Hall of Fame and protected Tom Brady through half of a dynasty with those poor little T-Rex arms, right?
Oh, okay. I mean, there probably would be no better local or regional former Patriot / champion to speak to on said very subject.
Okay, so let's put that in the books. But so you're a no, and I'm a no on this too, because what did I say in my 3-point stance? If Abdul Carter is there at four, I'm not trading out unless, I mean, I'd have to get an absolute ransom. Although, I guess I do need to wait for his red flags to maybe come a little bit more clear. Not only the foot issue, the stress fracture, no surgery, what's he going to do? How long is that going to be an issue for? Is that going to scare some teams off? And then whatever Giardi was telling us, like, tow truck driver started it. He was just defending himself or whatever. I mean, that's a tough sell.
I've never been in a fight with it. I don't really just get combative with anyone, but a tow truck driver?
I could see how it could happen. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I can be a bit of a hothead. And if somebody was taking my new truck and I go out there and I, like, maybe it escalates a little bit, and I'm not going to be proud of myself afterwards, but, you know, it can happen. We all have lines. We all have tempers. Anyway, so we're out on the Warren Sharp trade down.
Out.
From four to get Will Campbell. How about this one from our buddy Phil Perry over at NBC Sports Boston?
Uh-huh.
He has the Patriots selecting Travis Hunter with the number 4 overall pick, which you'd say, hey, yeah, that's, you know, everybody does. Well,
I have on pretty good authority that he is very high on the Patriots draft boards. Very, very, very high.
I don't love him. But anyway, forget that.
Why not? Wait, hold on. Why not?
Because I don't know what he is, and I don't know that he's good enough at either job to warrant the number 4 overall pick. I'm not sure he's a superstar corner. I'm not sure he's a superstar wide receiver. And I think his best asset is that he plays both ways, and I don't think he can play both ways in the NFL at that level. I just don't think
it happens. Wouldn't you love a wide receiver who had prolific stats in college football? Yes, I know he didn't exactly play in the SEC. However, he played a lot of cornerback as well, and does that or does that not give him an upper hand or an advantage at wide receiver? Like, oh, he's a really good wide receiver who also is a corner, so he can think like a corner and therefore has an upper hand in a lot of matchups.
That could be perceived as an advantage 100%. The other advantage that I will accept this as a theory and a projection, if you just ask him to play wide receiver, he's going to be better at it because he's going to practice it more. He's going to be a better route runner. He's going to have more energy. If you take away 60 snaps a game, doesn't that mean the other 60 snaps should be played at a higher level?
Should be that much more dynamic.
Right?
What if I told you he plays 45 snaps at receiver and you have him in there on a couple third downs and got to have it plays at corner because you need a third corner?
If you need it, okay. Emergencies, the way Troy Brown and Julian Edelman and others did. Emergencies, break glass, okay. He's behind the glass, rip him on out and put him out there. But I think if you draft him 4 overall, I need to ask him to be an expert. And I know we're in a world where Shohei Ohtani has broken the mold and changed the way we think about certain things and things of that nature.
He's pretty good. He is doing more hitting than pitching now. We have to remember that.
Well, because of the injury. I think they eventually will get him back on the mound on a more regular basis.
We'll see. They kind of don't need him. They have all the pitchers.
That is true. They kind of don't need him. But maybe as Jonathan Jones told us, maybe Travis Hunter can be a two-way player in the NFL because it's a softer league with less hitting and all these things. And maybe he truly is a unicorn just like Shohei Ohtani and can do that. I think if you draft him 4, you draft him with a primary position in mind where you want him to focus and become a true superstar, an expert. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing he would also embrace wide receiver for what we just talked about, the money. Even though cornerback contracts are growing, they're not growing at the same rate as wide receiver contracts that are now $40-plus million a year.
That's true.
You're lagging $10 to $15 million behind for the most part. You're just knocking on the door of 30, where a lot of guys make 30 at receiver.
What happens?
And 40
okay, now we have to go into Otani'sville, Andy. If he comes in and he ends up being a top 20 receiver, but then they play him a decent enough amount that you start considering one of the better corners. I'm telling you, again, my fear regarding Travis Hunter is that Cleveland takes him 2 overall because they so desperately need everything.
They could.
Yeah, even at corner.
Okay. But so Phil's mock draft has the Patriots taking Hunter at 4. You'd be excited. Lots of Patriots fans would be excited. We have a couple hosts on this station, namely Christian Arcand with his jersey, his Travis Hunter jersey, and the other buff sniffer, Ted Johnson. They would be quite happy with Travis Hunter. I like
you ever called Ted a buff sniffer when he's been in the studio?
I don't think I have. I prefer to do it when he's not here, just in case he doesn't care for it. He's a large man. I don't know if he has a temper, but I don't want to find out. The back end of the first round, Phil Perry has the Patriots trading back into the first round.
Phil, yes.
24th overall.
For?
The Connerly tackle out of Oregon, the kid who got his butt
that
whooped.
That is my draft, Phil, you handsome son of a bitch.
So you like that, and that would cost the Patriots their second-round pick, number 38, the 77th pick, and a future fifth-round pick to move up to 24. But you would leave the first night of the draft with wide receiver filled Travis Hunter, left tackle filled Connerly. What the hell's his first name? Josh, maybe?
Josh.
John.
Josh. Andy, that you know the meme of the guy from Futurama with the money, with the cash in his hand, it says, take my money, please. Yeah, you
dream draft?
I can't quickly enough use a second, one of my thirds, and a future fifth to jump up and get my tackle. If Arcand and I are doing the WEEI draft night show and we're talking about Travis Hunter and a future left tackle coming out of the first round, I mean, I don't you dare tell me that 10 wins wouldn't be on the table. Don't you dare tell me we're not all the way back. Don't you dare tell me I'm not allowed to be happy.
Oh, that night, I want that attitude. Absolutely. You know my rules. That night and then straight through August, I want that attitude. You filled left tackle. You got a young wide receiver. You got the Heisman winner. You got the best athlete in the last 10 years, a blue chipper, the whole thing. Now, I would still have some questions, but this draft, I'd sign off on. I don't know if it would work in the long term. I don't know, but you would, and you're drafting for need. Let's be clear. The idea of drafting best player available, I guess you can sell that at 4, but if you trade back in for a tackle, you're drafting for need. You're looking to check off the boxes on your roster and get yourself.
But, again, how many draft people have told us the picks from 4 through 12, 12 through 40 are kind of all the same? There's not like a...
I don't believe that.
All right, you know what? Fine. You could also, Andy, you could sell me on this. You could sell me on drafting Abdul Carter at 4 if, lo, by the grace of Zod, he were to fall to there, and then trading back into the tail end of the first round, except this time you get the receiver you want. Like, get Ibuka from Ohio State. Let's say you have good intel. He's going to go right at the top of round 2.
Yep.
Get back in there and get him and make sure you have your guy. It would probably cost you a little bit less. And then now priority number one on day 2 becomes figuring out which left tackle you need to either move up for or target in the top of the 3rd round.
Or maybe your other plan came to fruition and you signed Tyron Smith for the first 9 games of the season and you only need an 8-game tackle in the second round. He doesn't
have
to play
for me.
The full year.
I'm in.
No, I like these ideas. I do think we talked about it at the top of the hour. It is funny how these cycles go with mock drafts, and I do wonder, like, do all these guys, are they all some member of a club? And it's like, well, the first couple mock drafts will do the obvious. Then we'll start to throw a couple curveballs. Then we'll start to throw a couple trades. Is there a timeline in the mock draft process as you work your way through March and then into April toward the draft? Because it certainly feels like it. Your boy, Deuce, Mike Dussault down at Patriots.com is like, I'll get people to pay attention to my mock draft now. Running back, Ashton Jeanty. I feel like there's a little bit of a manipulation of us here as clickbait people and getting us to read and click on your drafts. But I would accept Phil Perry's. I don't know if I love it.
Might be my favorite thus far, really.
Okay. The Fitzy stamp of approval on Phil Perry's mock draft. You get yourself love a it. Wide receiver and Hunter, Connerly a tackle, 2 first-round picks. The draft party will be buzzing. The WEEI draft show will be buzzing. Hart, Johnson will be buzzing at Lambeau Field for the show the next day on the Friday. Everything will be a buzz. We'll forget about the buzz with the Red Sox. It'll be buzz for the Patriots if they just take Phil Perry's plan. Our plan here on WEEI Afternoons is to keep talking a little bit of Patriots. We haven't really mentioned the is a catcher an infielder topic lately. So if you want to join that conversation, which was very active early in the show, we'll get to that. Up next in the 4:30 slot, Lou Merlone. And I think they used to call him Angry Lou. I think we're going to get Happy Lou today. I think this is a Happy Lou. He's got the broadcast tomorrow, 1 p.m. here on WEEI. The Red Sox are rolling towards the regular season. I think Happy Lou Merlone will join us at 4:30 here on WEEI Afternoons. But right now we have Dan Ball and everything.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
And that's trending. WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens. A few minutes, we'll be joined by Lou Merlone, Happy Lou down in Florida. Yes, Fitzy?
Stiz has an update from the social media desk, I believe.
That's right, Nicholas. I was just perusing Instagram, and guess who just followed Patriots quarterback Drake May?
Jordan.
Stephon Diggs. It's all coming together.
I like Jordan better.
It's all coming together.
Am I supposed to think that means he's coming to the Patriots?
It doesn't not mean that he's not coming to the Patriots.
Oh, that I can get
triple negative.
Yes.
The old triple negative, Stanley.
That doesn't mean that he's not coming to the Patriots.
It doesn't not mean he's not coming.
And you know the worst part of that? I understood him.
I speak Stiz.
You have now worked a lot. Welcome to my world, Andy. Yeah. You now officially speak Stiz.
No, but this is how I knew that Bill was going to UNC, when Jordan started following all the North Carolina accounts. I knew something. Like, you guys think, maybe not so much Nick, but Andy, you think that that doesn't mean anything, but it definitely does.
Okay, so you're telling me that Stephon Diggs is soon to be the newest member of the Patriots receiving corps? That sounds like content. That sounds like content when he signs. That sounds like content when he has a hissy on the sideline and yells at Drake May. Sounds like content when he hits the end zone. Hey, I'm here for it, Fitzy. I don't know if it'll work out great for anybody, but it sounds like content.
Andy, I will tell you this. Drake May is not a serial poster. He's not a me. He's not a Courtney. He's not a Savage. You know, he doesn't overpost by any stretch. So it's not like Steph Diggs is just like perusing Drake May's Insta, like, I wonder if he's worth a follow. Let me give him a courtesy weekend or something like that. I don't know. I'm kind of doing a little math over here. I'm kind of adding some odds and ends, and I think maybe something might be up.
All right, we'll get back to that because right now we have the best baseball analyst in the business joining us, Lou Merlone. And WEEI's afternoon's spring training coverage is co-sponsored by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. By the E.L. Harvey companies, including Nauset Disposal and Miga Disposal, your local trash collection and recycling providers, and by Aviva Trattoria, Italian-inspired, locally made from fresh, whole, locally sourced ingredients. Lou Merlone, how are we doing down in spring training?
Well, let's see. I don't know, about 70 degrees. I got a big league Wago beyond Nesson tonight at 6:05 with a pig on the mound. I'm feeling pretty good.
That's the good life, Lou Merlone, the life you have earned and deserve, my friend.
I appreciate it, Fitzy.
And I think I predicted it. I said, you know, he used to be known as Angry Lou. I get a feeling when we talk to him at 4:30, it's Happy Lou because you mentioned it. It's spring training. We're getting close to the opener next Thursday. You're doing games. You got a game for us tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And most things are kind of coming together for the Boston Red Sox. But, Lou, you know we're not going to start with the positive. You used to sit in this seat and work in this time slot.
Yeah.
So, what the hell's going on with the closer situation, and is that going to tear this team down?
Wow. That was Felgarific, Andy. Jesus.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know. You guys saw the comments yesterday from Liam Hendricks.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's pretty realistic that Rollis Chapman will be your closer. And I think that Hendricks sort of, Sitchin came in for one hitter, right? Like trying to figure out what that role may be. But we kind of forget the guy missed an entire season because he had cancer and came back into Tommy John, you know? So he needs some time. And maybe you kind of give him that like sixth inning, down a couple runs or down a run. Give him some confidence in him trying to find himself in this first month of the season. But it kind of points to Chapman really kind of taking over that closer role. But I wouldn't be surprised in certain nights where you see guys like Slayton or even guys like Whitlock. To me, all three of those guys are throwing the ball real well. So I know closer by committee nobody really likes, but that's usually because you don't have a single closer and you're just trying to mix and match. But all three of these guys can finish games.
Is the closer for this team long-term on the team?
Long-term, meaning
by,
like
all
by
season.
September?
Yeah,
or, yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Hendricks sort of all of a sudden wakes up in June and you start seeing 96, 97, and he's dominant in the sixth and seventh, you know, and maybe they make a move. Because it's still there. You know, we'll see what happens.
So, Lou, stop me if you've heard this one before, but Trevor Story, it's a story, as tale as old as time. Scratch from tonight's game. Now the latest, according to reports, is he's got lower back tightness. I'm still hoping against hope. Even Bregman said one of the most important pieces and keys to this team this year is Trevor Story. But with the question marks at second base, and now some of these issues, you know, almost missing every other game or every third game, with some issues over at short, you think there's a chance our guy Marcelo Mayer might make this team out of camp after all?
You know, I don't. You know, unless I don't. Unless there's like, unless it's more serious than that. You know, I think Marcelo Mayer's had an amazing camp, and honestly, of the big three, looks most comfortable, most relaxed than any of them. Of course, he came in with probably least expectations than any of them because of the injury and the lack of playing time at AAA, but I think his job, and he did exactly that, was to come up and show what he can do. I mean, he's still a very talented guy that, but I still think there's things. You know, you don't just walk into camp and say, you know, you hit good for 4 weeks, everything is fixed. Like, they want to see some things. Last year, he really struggled against lefties. Last year, he really struggled against off-speed. And I'm not so sure 4 weeks dismissed that. They could be happy that he's worked on it and gotten better at it. But I still think they want to just see it a little bit more. Now, if they need him, I think that they're confident that, you know, we're in a pretty good spot because he's still a pretty good player. But I don't see it coming out of camp. But I think you're going to see him before the year's up. I don't think there's any question you're going to see all three of them before the year's up.
Lou, we were talking six-man rotation at some points in the winter and then as we enter. And now it's like, well, they got three and we're kind of figuring out the back end of the rotation. I'm intrigued because I like Steve Buckley, like a good local story. You must like a local story because you are one. Sean Newcomb, the kid from Middleborough, sounds like he could be the fifth starter at least to start the season. What have you seen from him, and do you think that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think last night he threw the ball real well and might have made the team. You know, Richard Fitz is a guy that from day one has kind of taken that job, to me, as one of the fourth starters or the next guy up, and there's been injuries. So he's on this rotation. And I think between Priester and Newcomb, you know, Priester the last couple of outings looked a little nervous, like a little bit like, wow, I've got a shot of making this team, and it hasn't really been himself. And he's been okay. But I think Sean Newcomb's come here and thrown the ball real well. I think he's another lefty. Could match up well game five out in Baltimore against their lefties. You know, and then you still got two guys coming back in probably 2 or 3 weeks. Now, the thing is that Newcomb's out of options. So you want to call him up for 2 weeks to send him down and possibly lose him in waivers. But I think there's a way to kind of keep him around for a while if he's pitching. Because if Chapman is your closer, Coors been talking about needing a third lefty in your bullpen. I mean, if starters are healthy and this guy's still here throwing the ball well, you're not going to just lose him, and you might be able to move him out there. So I think he's in a good spot to make this team.
Talking to the great Lou Merlone here on WEEI Afternoons from beautiful Southwest Florida, getting ready for a Sox game tonight and tomorrow. Lou, so a lot's getting made of how come the Sox haven't signed Crochet yet? You know, if he pitches a couple of good games and he doesn't want to negotiate, the price is only going to go up. I can understand why they may want to, you know, get a quick little look at how he fares on the road, at home, etc. Would you take the risk of signing him, considering he has zero complete games to his name to date?
Yeah.
And how confident are you that he can be the stud we all think he's going to be?
Yeah, it was up to me. It had been signed yesterday. But, you know, this really is a situation. It's very complicated because of how good this guy is and how good he can be and how much money he potentially could make in free agency. You know, we're talking about a guy that in 2 years, if he goes out and throws the ball the way he's capable of, could be $35, $40 million pitcher. So do you sit there and say, hey, we'll give you 5 years, 110 at 24, you know, 22 each, you know, like, sure. But do I want to turn down a possibly $250 million more in 2 years? Like this, and that's the thing. It's not like Bayo, right? Who, get him for a rookie contract, and is he ever going to be a $40 million pitcher? This guy can be. So as much as you would like to sign him to a deal, he is intrigued about how much money he can make. Not that he needs to leave. He hopes that maybe these guys pony up. But So I try to sign him, but it's sort of like he did do it for half a year, right? So I want to give that guy $30 million right now, you know, or I want to see it. Unfortunately, if I see it, he's going to want $40. You know, so it's it's complicated. It's complicated.
So, Lou, we're almost 8 minutes into talking to you about the Boston Red Sox spring training, everything, and we haven't said the name Rafael Devers. And a couple weeks ago, it was like, oh, my God, he was the story. He doesn't want to play DH. He doesn't this, that. Are we not doing our jobs if we're not asking that question earlier? Has he resigned himself to the fact that he's a DH? Is it a non-issue? Where do you think that stands right now?
Yeah, I don't think he's happy about it. You know, I don't think he's ever going to be happy about it. I still think he thinks he can play third base, but I think there is an acceptance at this point. Like, he's your DH, Bregman's your third baseman. And to be honest with you, I know a lot of people are, like, going nuts when he was, like, wasn't playing in games and just taking at-bats in the backfield, and people thought he was holding out or whatever. I kind of felt the opposite. I felt like that was an acceptance of, like, listen, if I'm not playing third and you want me to DH, I'd rather just stay out in the backfield and get 5 or 6 at-bats against Crochet and Buehler than get 2 or 3 in a big league game, you know? So that was almost like, if this is what I'm going to do, like if David Ortiz, circa 2010, came to camp and never played in a game but just took at-bats in the backfield, nobody would even think about it because he's a DH.
Right.
So I almost looked at that was the point where he accepted it and just said, just give me at-bats then.
Lou, Jaron Duran said that he was happy moving over to left field so that Sedan Rafaela could play center field and win a gold glove there. And we've kind of knocked this one around a little bit. But, you know, with all the hubbub about when are the kids coming up? Who's playing second? How about Crochet? Why don't they sign him? Who's going to be the closer? Are we potentially sleeping on somebody who, if he's healthy all year and is comfortable, could be a massive addition and upgrade for this team with Rafael in center?
Yeah, it's interesting because both he and Abreu, like, both these guys come up and play very good defense. And you're like, okay, the bat, let it develop, and we'll see where it goes. So both these guys, I felt like, had good rookie years. Like, you know, if they were their fourth year in the league and that's who they were, you would start looking maybe elsewhere and think, you know, more potential somewhere. But after 1 year, let them come into camp and see if they can make an adjustment, you know, on what they need to work on. And it's only spring training, but Sadon has looked like he's done exactly that. You know, his at-bats are more controlled. He's actually drawing walks. He's got 6 walks and 3 strikeouts. Like, if you combine, if there's an uptick in his offense with the defense he brings you, then that's something special. Like, you don't want to give up on that. So give him an opportunity to show what he can do offensively. And, you know, if he starts falling back into his patterns of swinging and never getting on base and just sort of swinging at everything and making poor decisions, then, you know, then he might think about what his future may be. But for now, it's like, give him an opportunity to show that he's improved his game.
Lou, as we get ready to watch you on Nesson analyze this baseball team over the course of the season, I feel like it literally could be one of the most interesting teams in baseball. The upside, you know, the upside of the rotation, the upside of the lineup, it's like this could be a 95-win team that is a World Series contender. But also, the downside is like, well, if they get a couple injuries and some of the guys you're projecting to do certain things, like Casas hit 40 bombs and 120 RBI, are a shell of themselves, then maybe they're not even a really good baseball team. So what's the biggest strength of this team right now? If you had to pick one thing and said, you know what, they are absolutely going to be very good here, and what's your biggest question mark heading into the season?
I think the rotation is going to be a strength. And obviously we know the first two times through there's no Bayo and Giolito. I actually think people are sleeping on Bayo. Like, they just have a bad taste in their mouth with who Bayo is. I thought second half of the year he threw the ball well. And again, third year in the league, let's see what he looks like. But you know, when Bayo and Giolito get in there, and how everybody kept saying Bayo, you got to get two starters in front of him. Well, yeah, it seems like they got three in front of him now. Mm-hmm. So I just think this rotation is good. And then when you look down at AAA and you got Fitz and you got Priester and whoever, you've got depth. I think it's going to be the pitching, but I still think this offense is going to bang too.
Last looks on Walker Buehler. He's been the guy that I've been most excited about. I just have a quiet confidence in him, the same way that he seems to have so much confidence in the way that he's going. Like, he looks like he knows he's got it again. I know he's had a lot of surgeries. Yep. I know he had a rough last year, but then he rounded into form at the end of the season and obviously was great again in the postseason. He's 6 months removed from that. What's your feeling on what kind of season he could potentially have?
It's all about health. I mean, I think he said 30 starts twice in his career, you know, and that's advertised. Like, everybody kind of knows that, right? But I, as impressive as Garrett Crochet has been, he has been just as, maybe more, just in the simple fact of how he's come out here and he looks like he's just, he hits every single spot. Like, and mechanically last year, he talked about how he was off and just couldn't find it. You know, and coming back from Tommy John was hard for him. And this year, mechanically, whether everything is kind of in line and correct, but he's putting the ball wherever he wants with power. The breaking stuff is fantastic. He just looks like he's locked in here in spring training. So, but it's going to be, if he gives you 30 starts, you know what you have. You know, is it going to be 16, 18 of them? Good ones. So it's really about health with him.
Lou, as a guy who remembers Bill Belichick bitching and whining about playing in Mexico, I'm going to ask you a question that I don't know if you can answer freely and honestly right now, but is it a good thing that the Red Sox are going to play some games in Mexico before the season? Are they excited about this? Is AC excited about this? What are the thoughts on the trip to Mexico?
Hey, listen, it's always good to grow the game, right? I think everybody kind of has that feeling, right? But I don't know. We'll see who goes. You know, the first three starters aren't going. I know Devers isn't going. We know Story isn't going. Interesting, like Bregman, I asked him why he's going, and he said because it's a great ballpark to hit in, and he just wants to hit lasers. So I was like, okay, like this dude's like a psycho. You know what I mean? He just wants to hit. Every 2 seconds, he just wants to hit. But, yeah, I do think it's interesting. I think a lot of guys are wondering about the timing. You know, last year they went to the Dominican Republic, and it was like when they went there and then they came back and had like a week to go before camp ended. This is going right into opening day. And I think that's a little bit strange and odd that people are wondering the timing of it. So are people excited about it? I'm excited to get to Texas. That's what I'm excited about. I can tell you that right now. So hopefully we get through those 2 days and get home.
Hey, Lou, last one. This one came from the text line. It was actually a debate that started on the midday show. We carried it over to the top of ours, and now we have to ask you. As inane as it may sound, I think it's a really good question. Text line wants to know, please ask Lou if a catcher is an infielder.
Wow. No.
Thank you.
Ah,
nailed it, Lou. Expert.
No, infielders. Infielders are in fair territory.
Thank you, Lou.
They don't sit in foul territory, and they don't catch ground balls. No, he's not an infielder.
Thank you. Nailed it. And just remind us, what position did you play in Major League Baseball?
I was an infielder.
Oh,
I was
thank
in
you.
Fair territory at all times.
Mona Lisa Vito, yeah. The expert. Expert witness, Lou Merlone. Thank you for ending that debate that's been going on for hours here at WEEI. Well, enjoy the... Are you going to Mexico?
It's just, yeah, I am going to Mexico, but just keep in mind, it's just one man's opinion. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm going to Mexico. We got TC and I got the game covered tonight on Ness, and I'm going to be with Joe Castiglione, Hall of Famer, tomorrow on the radio.
Oh, please tell me, Lou, one request. You know, in the honor and spirit of Remdog, you have to do a Buenas Noches, amigos.
Oh, yeah.
Buenas Noches, amigos. When we're out in Mexico. I know, si, big league Wago. We can get that going. We can get that going. And don't forget, too, by the way, next Thursday's opening day. Nessun's coverage starts at 2:30.
Look at this guy. He's a pro's pro. Look at that. Lou Merlone, Nessun, WEEI, Red Sox Nation, and an expert that tells us a catcher is not an infielder. We're done with the topic. Lou, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, guys. Good talk.
See you, Lou.
You're the best, buddy. Thank you.
He really is the best. And I'm not just saying that because he agrees with me and finalized that a catcher
all
is indeed.
All right. You got time in the commercial break to take your little victory lap in the parking lot.
I want to take the victory lap on air. Lou Merlone, Andy Hart, right again. Up next here on WEEI Afternoon, someplace I'm not right now is my bracket, Fitzy. It's not going well. Picking orange teams named Clemson didn't help me on the opening day of the tournament. Having them go multiple rounds deep really didn't help me on my bracket.
We all know you pick mascots, not colors, Andy. Come on now.
But the real bracket is the one that matters. That's the WEEI Afternoons nickname bracket. There's a bunch of them on Twitter at WEEI Afternoons. We'll update you on how the voting is going and preview where that bracket is going to go next here on WEEI Afternoons. I'm in control. WEEI Afternoons. It is March. NCAA tournament is underway. Oh, Mount St. Mary's getting pumped by Duke. 76-41.
It's actually that close?
Well, I watched the other night and I fell in love with their big man who was dunking on everybody in their first game, Mount St. Mary's. But, they're not going on a magical run. They ran into the team that I think a lot of people have picked to win the whole damn thing. Duke, Cooper Flagg was back. I saw him playing and getting the job done. But that's not the bracket that matters, Fitzy. The real bracket, and it's not the Ick one from the Greg Hill show. It's not the Jersey ones from the Midday show, although I do enjoy that one and I keep voting, and that's fun. And please do, WEEI Middays, Jones and Keefe. At Jones and Keefe, is that their... Their handle on Twitter, @JonesandKeefe.
Yes. I was a little worried for you yesterday, by the way, when you got into the powder blue jersey conversation with Ted, and you started disagreeing on what each of you think of when you think of a powder blue jersey.
Yeah, he was getting angry.
I thought he was coming over that table for a split second.
Just because Earl Campbell is his idol doesn't mean Earl Campbell is my idol. And also, Earl Campbell, I was too young. I don't remember watching Earl Campbell play live. Bo was my 34, Bo, and then the powder blues of the Chargers are just, that's a chef's kiss, as Fitzy would say. But Dan Ball, we started putting our nickname bracket on Twitter, individual polls yesterday. So Dan Ball, the first poll that you put up was?
The first poll was the first of four in the baseball region in our round of 32. So it was the number one seeded Big Poppy,
who
I think I would choose, as did Fitzy yesterday, to potentially win this tournament.
Yeah.
Against Rendog, Jerry Remy, it's a tough
matchup.
It's a tough first round matchup.
Legend.
And it is a landslide right now. We have 11 minutes remaining. So if you haven't voted in the first of what is now six of our matchups that are going on currently, you have 11 minutes to do so. Right now, Big Poppy, 82.1% of the vote to Rendog's 17.9%. So
how
a lot
soon
of people on
forget.
The Big Poppy train.
How soon they forget. Remdog was a legend. He was beloved. You listen to him every night. Wow.
But Big Poppy, man, that transcends Boston sports. That's one of the best just that you've seen, at least in this century.
Well, I think that is the perfect mix of great nickname, great player. Like you have
no
different,
question.
You know, there's great nicknames on a okay player, and then there's a great player, and you're like, do Do I like the nickname because it's a good nickname or because he's great? Big Poppy is a great player, Hall of Fame player with a great nickname. So, okay, Poppy, you deserve that. Up next.
The second of the baseball region. This one's a lot closer, and it has 1 hour remaining. So if you don't follow us at WEEI Afternoons, make sure you do so you can go vote. This one is Dennis Oil Can Boyd against Carlton Pudge Fisk. Ooh. And right now, it is 51-49, a slight advantage for the two-seeded Oil Can over the seven-seeded Pudge at the moment.
Oil Can's got to win. If you're basing it on nickname, Fitzy,
Guy,
Oil Can
it's
is
Pudge. He was the original Pudge. He was a legend here.
Who cares? Oil Can is a better nickname. Right?
I mean, it's a great nickname, but I got to be honest. Like, that's not an easy one to knock off, Guy.
Yeah, but see, I vote with the nickname, not with the great player. But I won't tell you how to vote anymore. Vote.
So you said 51-49, Dan?
Yes.
Yes.
That one should be that. Honestly, that should be that difficult. That's a tight one.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dan.
All right. So we have.
For goodness sakes.
We have four that are out today. So we continue our round of 32, and then this will go Monday, Tuesday, and we'll conclude on Wednesday with the remainders of our. Yes, Fitzy?
I'm sorry. I'm just looking at the round of 32 in baseball. El Guapo at 4 versus Splendid Splinter at 5. And this one is, holy smokes, this one is tighter than Rich Garces's outfit that you
the photo you posted. No. He does fill out the entire box of the little photo square on Twitter, but we're not doing that.
Oh, Andy, come on. He was a legend, man. Like, yeah. El Guapo, like, I don't think he was very good at what he did, but my God, every time he came in, you had a smile on your face.
Yeah, the balance of nickname value versus actual player talent is very lopsided in that one.
Oh, yeah, but the nickname is it's a battle.
Yeah, not taking anything away from El Guapo. Okay, before we get to that, go ahead, Andy.
I was also going to say, it is pretty stark, the contrast of the Splendid Splinter, the thin, wiry, lefty hitter versus the very large relief pitcher.
Yes, and that's why the photos are in the replies of everything, because it's just kind of funny to see these guys next to one another. Okay, so the first of four that's going on today, so still 17 hours left to vote on the third game in the baseball region. Number 3 seed Roger Rocket Clemens against one of the classics, number 6 seeded Bill Spaceman Lee, and I'm not overly surprised to see this right now. Spaceman is in the lead, just over 54% of the vote versus the Rockets, 45.8%.
I voted Rocket. I really like that. I think that's another example of a good nickname. Maybe not as good as Poppy, but great Hall of Fame player like that Rocket right arm. And maybe it's because it was sort of in my formative years as a young sports fan.
I would venture a guess and say that some of our followers are just seeing Roger Clemens and going, I'm not going to vote for him.
Absolutely. Oh, there's good, probably
good
some
point, Dan.
Yeah, there's probably some negative tinge to that a little bit. Okay, what's next?
We got a good battle in the final of the baseball region, as Fitzy just alluded to. Rich El Guapo Garces against Ted the Splendid Splinter Williams. 50.4 to 49.6. Almost a dead heat, but a slight advantage to my man, El Guapo.
Let's go. That's how I voted. That's how it should be. That's a great nickname. And he was a fun character of the time as well. So, no, I like that one. That's interesting. But
the Splendid Splinter.
Yeah, but he's the Splendid Splinter. That's not a great nickname. It's a fine nickname. El Guapo.
Not a great nickname.
El
my
Guapo.
God.
Well, you didn't think it was great either. You would have ranked it higher. He's a 5 seed.
It's a 4-5.
Yeah. So he's below the midline. Okay. Next up, Dan Bolt.
All right, so that wraps up things for the baseball region. We got the first two in the basketball region out today. These came out at 2 and 4 this afternoon, so just early on in our voting. For the number 1 seeded, Larry Bird, the Hick from French Lick, and the number 8 seed, Cedric Maxwell, better known as Cornbread. And this one right now is an early lead for Larry Bird. No real surprise, I would say, though both are great. 77.4% of the vote for the number 1 seed, Larry Bird, versus 22.6 for Cedric Maxwell.
Not sure Max is going to like that, getting walloped by Larry Bird. That's a bit of an issue for him.
Andy, I'd like to posit that perhaps, just perhaps, I could honestly see a Hick from French Lick versus Big Poppy showdown.
Yeah, I think that's actually probably likely. I think those could be the finals. I thought what you were going to say based on the photo of Max was, I can see more of Max than I want to see in those shorts. Good Lord.
Oh, no.
Jeez. Does it hang low?
All right. What? Again, family show.
Okay, no, I'm just, you know, the ears. It's from Dumbo. Okay.
Do they wobble to and fro?
No. You got one more, Dan Ball?
I do. And then the last one that's out right now, game number two in the hoops region, Paul Pierce, the Truth against John Havlicek, Hondo, in an early lead for the Truth, 70.2% of the vote. So we have six of our 16 matchups in the round of 32 out right now, and we'll continue with polls on Monday morning.
Andy, quick question, if I may, real fast. I want to ask Stiz, because he said he's Mr. Green Teamer, right? He's Mr. Boston Sports Superfan Local. Stiz. Who gave Paul Pierce his nickname, The Truth?
I'm going to use Ted as my lifeline.
he said pig farmer.
I don't know, so inform me.
Andy used to wear the jersey on the beach, Shaq.
Oh, okay.
That's the truth right there. 617-779-7937, at WEEI Afternoons on Twitter. And we have to remind you, you can't bitch about the results if you don't vote. So go to our Twitter handle, follow us, vote in all of these nickname battles and polls, and then, if it gets to the end, you can complain if you actually cast your vote. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll get back to the Boston Celtics. Bill Chisholm, he's soon to be here and taking the reins. Wick Grosbeck, he's going to get to continue to hang out. He talked to the Greg Hill Show this morning. We'll talk Celtics sale, and is it a good thing or a bad thing for the long-term competitive future of your favorite basketball franchise. Up next here on WEEI After.